4. Wreath wouldn't have been concerned for even a moment if they'd been stranded in space in the Republic. Longbeams always flew stocked with surplus fuel and provisions for journeys 2 or 3 times as long as scheduled. The surpluses were unnecessary, of course. Abundant hyperspace traffic and a subspace transceiver meant that a potential rescue ship was rarely more than a few hours away. Out on the frontier, however, it seemed possible to be stranded for very long periods of time, maybe permanently. So Affy's announcement had at first sent a wave of grateful relief washing over Wreath. Someone needed help. They might be able to give it, which would lend this strange detour some meaning. But Orla's words had stopped him, hand halfway to the holo transceiver switch. He couldn't believe he'd been on the verge of trusting the frontier. Affy had obviously gotten there even before Orla's warning.
What if they're pirates? What if they're Nihil? What if they're just desperate people who'd raid us for food?
I'm sorry, Wreath said, apologizing for the mistake he'd nearly made.
These aren't risks we have to deal with very often in the Republic.
Leox Jossi eased around Orla and strolled back onto the bridge, clearly having overheard much of this.
That's about the first good thing I've heard about our joining the Republic, he said. Makes me reconsider my reservations, and I sincerely appreciate any chance to look within. But this ain't the Republic yet, my man. Not by a long shot.
Master Jorah's voice echoed in Wreath's head.
Whenever you feel foolish, remember that you have been given an opportunity to learn. The truly foolish act is to refuse that opportunity.
All right, pirates I know about, but the Nihil? Who are they?
Good question, Orla said.
She remained still and quiet at the door, though the tension Wreath sensed within her seemed to arise from something other than their current situation. Leox and Affy shared a glance that somehow seemed to include Geode, despite Geode's notable lack of eyes.
They rose up a few years ago, Affy said. I mean, they've been around longer, but they just recently became dangerous. Nobody's sure where they're from.
Nor can we determine their ethos, Leox added. A confounding people. But we know 3 things for sure. They're raiders, they're brutal, and they're not out there right now.
It was Affy and Wreath's turn to share a glance. Wreath said,
How do you know it's not them out there?
I know it because we're still alive.
Leox took his seat.
Doesn't mean we couldn't have some trouble, though. Tell you what, you pull the head monk or whatever in here and we'll go through the signals together. See if we've got help or need to give help or should absent ourselves post-haste.
We'll go get Comac, Orla said, already turning to leave.
Wreath scrambled to catch up with her, thinking,
Master Jorah couldn't have known about any of this, or she'd never have brought us out here.
As soon as Wreath and Orla were gone, Affy turned to Leox.
Since when do we need Jedi to help us decide what's dangerous and what's not? Especially since they've never even heard of the Nihil.
We don't need them for that, Leox said. But we 3 need to have a quick talk without any Republic types present.
Affy realized what he had to be referring to almost instantly. She leaned in as Leox put one arm around her shoulders and one around Geode.
Here's the situation, Leox said. We would, of course, never want our Jedi to think that they might be aboard a ship carrying some cargo that is not, in the strictest sense, legal in the Republic.
Never,
Affy said, straight-faced.
That would never happen. The Jedi don't know anything that would make them think that.
Leox nodded.
We'd be prudent to keep it that way. Which is why, no matter who's out there, or what they want, or what they might pay,
we continue to present ourselves as an absolutely open ship, a hauler-turned passenger transport just for the one ride. Affy added, no matter who comes on board or where they want to search, certain compartments should continue not to exist.
So very true. Leox pulled back. Remember, everybody, our perceptions define the reality of the universe. Nothing is even a thing until our thinking makes it so.
Not thinking about those compartments, Affy said. The ones that aren't there.
Scover's gonna be so proud of you.
Leox smiled at her. Affy could have hugged him, not for the praise, but for his casual assumption that her mother was still alive. There was, of course, no head monk among the Jedi party. However, Comac Vitus had the most field experience of the group, and he could tell that Orla was shaken. They would need to talk about it soon. The parallels between this mission and the first they ever undertook together. But there would be time for that later. The distress call demanded his attention, so he went with Wreath back to the bridge to help sort through the various signals.
Why not in the comm center?
Comac said instead of hello. Leox Jossi did not seem the sort to stand on ceremony.
First, because we're not talking back just yet, Leox replied. So we only need to isolate and analyze the signals right now. Second, because we can get a much better bead on each signal's origin from up here.
Logical,
Comac said approvingly. How rare to find a freelance pilot who operated on a rational basis, even if he looked and talked like this one. How steadying to have a problem that demanded concrete solutions, one that required him to search beyond their ship for answers instead of looking within.
How many are we picking up in the immediate sector?
Looks like 11,
Affy said, gesturing to various red blinking dots on a green grid.
Of those, 6 are standard cargo haulers, not that different from us, except none is guild registered. Another 2 are standard passenger haulers, ranging in size from 5-person skiffs to...
She whistled.
To at least one with 200 sentients on board.
Many people needed help then, possibly soon. Comac felt re-energized with purpose. Already he'd been itching to do something, anything of use. It appeared that he would be called upon even sooner than he'd hoped. The Jedi's mission at the frontier would begin with both mercy and strength. First, however...
What about the others?
What about that one? Wreath asked, pointing over Affy's shoulder. The bigger one. Some of those readings, those are high radiation levels, right?
Leox nodded, but his lack of concern was so complete that it nearly operated as a tranquilizer.
Looks like Mizzy to me. They're not as susceptible to radiation as most sentient species, so they haul cargo a lot of other ships can't. And that one there?
He pointed to the next to last dot on the screen.
That looks Orinkan, which is bad news. Their lack of outer beauty is perfectly matched by their lack of inner beauty. I hate to be disparaging of an entire species, but if there are any Orinkans overflowing with wit, charm, and kindness, I've yet to make their acquaintance.
Comac asked,
What about the final ship?
That's the one that bothers me.
Leox zoomed in until the specs for that particular ship, the farthest out, became clear.
Smallest of the lot. The one that sent the original signal we intercepted. But I can't make heads or tails of it.
Comac could see the difficulty.
The engines of a racer, the plating of a transport, sensor strength almost akin to a research vessel, and yet some of the components are weak.
Old, to judge by the readings,
Affy said.
So they've souped up some of their systems, but ignored the others until they're almost falling apart. Which is weird, right?
Yes, but hardly unique.
Comac considered the possibilities. No armaments showed up on scans. Armaments could be shielded with certain plating. However, the engines didn't seem powerful enough to support that kind of shielding. He weighed the possibilities and decided.
Let's contact them directly.
But if they're pirates...
Affy began, then stopped when Leox shook his head.
You saw their scanners, he said. They know we're here. They know what we're about. If they want to attack, they're gonna. So far they haven't. It's worth a shot. You want to make the call, Power Man?
It took Wreath a moment to make the connection. Comac concealed his amusement.
It's Padawan, actually. But I can make the call.
He stepped closer to the comms and flipped the toggle.
This is the vessel... Vessel. What's your designation? Can you transmit a visual signal? Over.
The screen fuzzed, then clarified into the image of a young girl, younger even than Wreath Silas and Affy Hollow, though Comac thought only by a year or so. Her shining dark hair was pulled back into a neat tail, and her rounded cheeks blushed as she smiled.
Oh, thank goodness! We were so scared you might be pirates, but you don't look like pirates. Wait, are you pirates?
Wreath was smiling too, as were most of the other people on the bridge.
Not pirates. Travelers bound for Starlight Beacon and now stranded here.
At least we're not the only ones,
said the young girl.
I'm called Nan. It's just me and my guardian out here, and we don't have much.
Comac interjected.
Some of us, including Wreath here and myself, are Jedi, sworn to protect and defend the peoples of the Republic.
All peoples, really, but he wanted them to understand the good that the Republic could bring to their lives.
We'll contact all the ships in short order, work on organizing together. Sharing resources will be the best way to survive this crisis.
Nan beamed. Perhaps the Jedi had made their first friend in the sector.
Hold on. We'll be back in touch shortly.
She nodded as the visual signal faded out. No pirate attack was imminent. However, a vague feeling tugged at Comac, a barely conscious sense that something important remained undiscovered.
Captain Jossi, he said. Can you expand your scanner perimeters?
Leox nodded.
Just so long as you know when we gain reach, we lose clarity. As with so much in life.
Unacceptable trade.
Comac leaned closer to analyze any scraps of information they might receive. Instead of scraps, the screen suddenly filled with data. Leox's eyes widened as he scrolled in closer.
Whoa. What the heck have we got here?
A space station?
Wreath said, making the leap faster than Comac would have guessed.
But it's nowhere near the system's star, and the energy levels are low.
Doesn't look like anybody's aboard,
Affy said while bent over her own readings.
Though at this distance, we can't tell for sure.
We've heard nothing from the station despite the unexpected arrival of 11 ships in this system, Comac said. Energy readouts are fairly low. The likeliest conclusion is that the station's abandoned.
Abandoned? Wreath asked. Why? Simply gone derelict? Or has it become dangerous for some reason?
Comac shrugged.
Maybe. Or could be this area was once a prosperous shipping route and now is less so. Or it could simply have gotten old. Regardless, we should search it.
I'll add to that, Leox said. We need to search it soon, as in right around now. And so should every other ship in the area, because the local star isn't happy.
A quick scan showed the danger. The star of that blank, empty system was a volatile one, not yet ready to go supernova, but beginning the final millennia leading up to that cataclysm. As such, it would be prone to solar flares of dangerous scale and intensity. Their readings indicated it was about to flare up, sending out plumes of super-hot matter that would be a million kilometers in length. When that happened, as it would within the day, if not the hour, the individual ships would be at risk of immolation.
We have to put the space station between our ships and the star,
Comac said.
Obviously, the station has shielding that allows it to endure in this system. If we anchor ourselves on the far side, we have a chance.
Leox nodded.
Sending out the alert right now.
Thank the Force,
Comac thought,
for problems with simpler solutions.
They allowed the illusion that the universe could be controlled, an illusion everyone needed from time to time. For the first time since Master Jorah had told him of their assignment to Starlight Beacon, Wreath felt excited. An abandoned space station seemed likely to offer adventure without bugs, and some stories to tell his friends, whenever he got to see them again. But Wreath wasn't going to think about that just yet. Finally, he could get back to living in the present moment, as a Jedi should. It had been too long. Every second they traveled closer to the station, his fascination grew. The design was one he'd never seen before. Its center was a large sphere made of hexagonal plates of some transparent material. Heavy metal rings clustered on square-shaped tethers at its poles, with another metal ring stretching around its equator, which he estimated at roughly 500 meters in diameter. One airlock was part of the sphere itself, but was unusable, mostly because it was both enormous and highly irregularly shaped, built to welcome some kind of ship none of them had ever seen before, perhaps because it had ceased to exist. Master Comac's theory about the station's abandonment seemed to be accurate, because signs of damage and wear were apparent. Missing panels, a small chunk of one ring broken away. However, its power core must have remained strong, because light still shone from the transparent central globe. Their readings confirmed this as the vessel got closer.
Gravity? Check, Affy said. Life systems? Check. Atmospheres and oxygen-hydrogen mix, so we can go on board if we want to.
Wreath wanted to.
How long do you think that place has been abandoned? Decades? Centuries?
More like millennia, to judge by the tech,
Leox said, squinting as he studied the station.
That looks familiar, but I can't place why.
The Amaxines! A thrill of recognition swept through Wreath, bringing a smile to his face as he placed the familiar curved shapes and patterns of the metal. That's Amaxine technology!
Amaxine? Affy wrinkled her nose.
Who are they?
Wreath loved nothing more than a chance to explain.
They were ancient warriors, from really long ago, even before the Republic. Their fierceness in battle was supposedly unmatched. There are all these legends of how their scouts would appear almost out of thin air, signaling the troops to sweep in for attack.
What happened to them?
Affy asked.
Apparently, when the Republic unified so much of the galaxy, the Amaxines weren't willing to accept the peace. So they left the galaxy and flew into empty space in search of another great war to fight.
Which didn't make sense in Wreath's opinion, but he didn't waste time judging a people who died out thousands of years before. Besides, the sheer thrill of this moment, seeing something that had once been only myth and legend suddenly come vividly alive, eclipsed everything else.
Leox drawled, "Now that you mention it, I believe I've heard some stories about the Amaxines, how they took off so long ago. But people have been here way more recently than that."
Frowning, Affy asked,
"How do you know?"
Wreath was glad she had, because that meant he didn't have to.
"Pre-programmed coordinates." Leox thumped the dash. "This system was in our navicomputer. I don't know why, and neither does Geode, and neither do you. Which is why I want you to ask your mama about this as soon as we get back to her. You're the only one who might get a straight answer as to why Bind Guild's ships all come programmed with a map that leads us out of hyperspace straight to here."
Wreath turned his head, as though studying the readouts more thoroughly, so he couldn't see Affy's face. The explanation was obvious.
Some kind of illegal trade. Maybe something the guild did on the side. It wouldn't be easy for Affy to hear that, surely. But there were other possibilities. The guild might monitor illegal trade rather than engage in it, or even work against it in an effort to eliminate corrupt competition. They didn't have enough information to know. For Wreath, information had always been as vital as air, something he felt he could never accumulate enough of. However, he was realizing that not knowing everything created a certain exhilaration, which was probably going to be brief and wasn't as good as actually being informed and prepared. Still, he'd take what enjoyment he could get. A red light appeared on the vessel's console, then another, then all of them almost at once glaring scarlet. Every single alert on the ship was sounding. "Uh-oh," Leox said. His usual calm was finally shaken. "We've got a solar flare incoming!" Wreath stared in the rough direction of the star, but it wasn't visible at that angle. "When?" Affy's face had gone pale. 4 minutes.